let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. It's an exciting blend of both fantasy and science fiction, a story that spans the stars and millennia of time, where wizards and warriors meet with visitors from other planets in their efforts to combat the greatest of all evils, an incarnation of evil, history's most villainous being. It's the epic story Muldeen from author Mark Anthony Tiernow. He's a full-time author, ghostwriter, Southern California native. His epic fantasy novel takes you to the ends of the world of magic, alien visits, and ultimate evil. Mark holds a master's degree in physics, which often plays well in his creation of other worlds. He's the author of both the Muldeen series and his Inspector Flatfoot series, as well as others yet to be seen. When he's not working on his own projects, he's working on someone else's. The author of the Muldeen series, Mark Anthony Tiernow, with us on This Week in America. Mark, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
I'm glad to be here.
What a great imagination you have, and I can't wait to jump into the world here with that you've created with Muldeen. I understand in reading about you, this is what sort of a storyline that played around for, 15 or so years before you wrote the story. Talk about where this whole idea came from in that 15-year gestation period before we actually saw the first book.
Well, it started originally back even before that. I was in eighth grade and watching all the movies where the bad guy is always taking his time to explain his entire plan to the good guys. And, you know, you just want to tell him, come on, shoot the guy already.
And get it done with, yes.
And short of Ming the Merciless, I could never see, you know, a really good villain. And I always thought, someday I'm going to make like the ultimate villain. And that's what started it. And then I got into role-playing games like D&D and stuff. And my players didn't realize that I was using them to sort of write my book with. And I just began accumulating notes. I'd have ideas about the world. I began writing down certain unique weather patterns. I created my own alphabet, a 300-word dictionary at this point. I drew a map of the world in excruciating detail, and I just began accumulating plot elements. And of course, at the top of it is my ultimate bad guy is Myro, and I designed him from the top. He's supposed to be the ultimate villain, which means, of course, the ultimate villain needs the ultimate prize. And that's the one thing the story does revolve around is what is it that he wants? What's the prize? And that there's a lot more to the world of Muldeen than even the locals think.
Talk about creating the ultimate bad guy, because this is a bad guy. And we hear it in so many books, in TV series and whatever, you know, there's a bad guy. You've got a real bad guy. Obviously, a lot of thought went into creating the ultimate bad guy.
Yeah, just on Muldeen alone, it's often said that the gods fear him. They aren't saying why, though. He is the sort of guy, he will plan centuries in advance. There's actual things in the book where we find out that he planned what the characters would do before they were even born. And, you know, if you ever encounter, he's not going to be the ones that he's going to explain his plan. Anything he's doing fits into his plan. So if he lets you live after you encounter him, he wants you to do something and you're already halfway there doing it. His goal, it's probably the single, you know, biggest goal any villain out there has had. Because the bigger you have a villain, the more it is that he wants to reach for. So I put something in there that's sort of like the ultimate door prize. But he doesn't let anything get by him. He, like I said, plans in advance, and his power... he's been around for thousands of years, and people are still unsure what it is that he wants and why he hasn't gotten it by now. And that's the major mystery.
With us on This Week in America is Mark Anthony Tiernow. That's T-I-E-R-N-O, if you're Googling that and getting information on the book. The book series we're talking about is Muldeen, M-A-L-D-E-N-E. Information at the website, muldeen.com. You can link on directly and get to Mark's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's interesting. You talked about this world that you created, and you really have created a world. And you start reading from page one. You've got this alien world that's almost as real as the one that we're living in now. You make it seem so real. Talk about that, because it doesn't seem like any little detail you've forgotten in creating this artificial world.
Yeah, it boils down to, if I get bored, I get dangerous. Like I said, there are certain weather patterns I came up with, and also the reason behind them. Like there's things called funnel storms.
Yes.
Which, if you combine the worst aspects of a tornado and a hurricane, you're pretty much got a funnel storm. And little details like that, I got notes on. Their sciences, their alchemy, the cultures. Every time throughout the book where I come upon a new part of the world, time to invent a new culture. Because I figure all that detail, if you want to believe in the bit, then you have to believe in the setup. I think that's an old Johnny Carson comedy rule.
Exactly, yes.
And so if you set it up to with as much detail so that you can go, this sort of world could be real, then you'll buy into the bit of the plot.
You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest on the program is Mark Anthony Tierno. We're talking about the Muldeen series. The book's available at Muldeen.com and the places where usual places where books are sold as well. When you're creating a world like this, that mixture of fantasy and magic along with elements of science fiction, talk about being able to do that, because you do that so remarkably well.
Yeah, most of the time, I don't see too many things where they blend fantasy and science fiction, because half the time it ends up with you have the guy with the magic wand and the guy with the blaster. And, you know, that just doesn't satisfy.
Yes.
It starts off, well, there are actually elements in the first part of the book that would be more science fiction-based that look like fantasy-based that you don't find out until later. But basically, everything has a logic behind it. Even magic, you know, you just can't say it happened because of magic. It has to have its own internal logic. And things, and as long as that has its internal logic, then you can go and mix it with the tech stuff. And there are times, you know, over the course of the story in which they do, you know, come up with, say, devices that blend one with the other. Until it's like Arthur C. Clarke said, you know, sufficiently advanced technology becomes indistinguishable from magic. This story crosses that line back and forth several times. And it's just a matter of being careful, sticking with the logic of the thing, and, you know, just getting as creative as you can.
As I'm reading Muldeen, I'm thinking of the other big fantasy stories that are out there. How would you compare it to The Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, those that the big epics that are out there that I would compare Muldeen to?
Well, I've actually had one blogger that she read through the first book, Volume 1 and 2, and compared it to Lord of the Rings meets The Odyssey. And I'm hearing that and going, hey, thanks. If I'm going to be compared to any two books, those are the ones. And a friend of mine who was actually the first to read all 13 books, and he's read it about a dozen times since then, he was trying to think of who to compare me to, and he said Homer. So I guess at the least it's someplace in that sort of Lord of the Rings plus. I've had people compare it to The Wheel of Time, which is a series I haven't read, but I've heard a lot of people hold in very high regard. But to give you an idea of, like, just the scope of the thing, the volume one and two, the entire first novel in length and probably scope, is equivalent to the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy. And that's just the first of 13.
Well, let's talk about that aspect, because we're talking, I keep saying the Muldeen series is 13 novels, 5.2 million words, and 250 characters. So did it start off to be a 13 series book, or did it sort of evolve as you were creating this world?
Well, when I began writing the first book, I had a rough sketch in my head that the breakdown felt like it was going to be about 13. And then after I finished the first book, I thought, okay, I got to, you know, rough this out a bit better and changed a few things around, but it still came out to about 13. And I went, 13's a good size. Before that, I wasn't as I was evolving it over the 15 years. It just kept getting bigger and bigger, and I added more stuff and whatever. But yeah, it sort of grew that way, and then it was just when I got there, a matter of deciding where to draw the lines in the plot.
You can get information on the series at Maldene.com. That's M-A-L-D-E-N-E.com. The author, Mark Anthony Tierno, T-I-E-R-N-O, with us on the program. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly. One thing that you're noted for, besides creating this great world and telling an excellent story, is the what they describe as an insane work ethic. Talk about that. It seems like, does your mind ever shut down?
Never. there's actually one blogger interview, and I described my typical daily work schedule. And I told him, well, and on a new chapter for my book, so I'll start at, say if it's a Monday, I'll start at like 7:30 in the morning, right to about, 5:30, 5 or 5:30. And that's about, 12,000 words right there. And then I'm editing at night for about 4 hours. And then the next day I finish off that chapter and chapter edit on a Wednesday and start the whole cycle all over again. So I'm doing two chapters a week that average between, 13 to 15,000 words. And Maldene, for instance, the first book, it's 330,000 words. That one I wrote in 9 months because it was my first one. I was teaching myself. By the time I was finished, I'd written book 13, which is 570,000 words in 4 months, editing included. So, yeah, for me, I squeeze a 40-hour week into like about the first 4 days.
It's amazing, and the product is certainly indicative of the care and the thought you put into it. The Maldene series, M-A-L-D-E-N-E, Maldene.com is the website. Your background is fascinating. I touched on that with the background in physics. Talk about that, because it seems like you do draw on that a lot as you're creating this world.
Yeah, having a master's in physics and all this stuff basically means I don't have to look stuff up.
Yes.
I own research material, so there's stuff that I know by heart. And knowing how the actual laws of physics work tells me how I can apply them to certain situations in the book. What I can extrapolate to on some of my own theories that I've had certain things and use in the story, and how I can make it mesh with the magical aspects. So it does save a lot of time. As I said, I'm my own research material on that, and I've had my own theories, quite a number of things over the years, and sometimes I'll sneak those into the story as well.
What makes an epic story? This has been described as epic, and it certainly fits that category. But what makes an epic? Do you start off with an epic story, or does it evolve and become an epic story as you're creating it?
Well, an epic story, and I don't think it's necessarily a matter of length, although whichever length you're shooting for, if you're going to have epic, then you want to have a lot of characters, a lot of involvement out of environment, so it is going to get longer. I have written a short story that has sort of an epic feel to it. Basically, for an epic story, the goals have to be big. They have to be up there, sometimes world-shattering. They have to involve a lot of running around. Sometimes it might be journeys for a quest. Sometimes it just might be, in my case, finding out what the heck the bad guy wants. So there's going to be a lot of different characters encountered. There's going to be a lot of different environments, a whole lot of traveling and a whole lot of lands, and a really big price. The bigger the price, the goal, the more epic it is. And you can't be afraid to not do something. You can't be afraid to not go there, if you want a good epic story.
This has such a visual aspect to it as you're reading. What are the possibilities of seeing this as a TV series or a motion picture?
Oh, I would love if they did the Game of Thrones treatment to it. Someone said, over the years, several people have said, hey, make a great movie. And I'm looking at just the first book and going, if people want to go in for about a four-hour movie. It's a thing, but then Game of Thrones came out, and they pretty much changed everything. I would love to see that. I do write it visually because I have the whole thing pictured in my head like a movie. And then my job as a writer is to translate that into words so the reader has the same movie going through their head. So because I do it just so visually, I think it would be fairly easy, if somewhat expensive, for someone to adapt it into a movie.
What are you working on now?
Right now, a lot of ghostwriting. I got to pay the bills. I do ghostwriting for people, fiction and nonfiction. I can't say anything about them because of non-disclosure agreements.
Right.
I have one client that's it started as a 3-book series, and she said, "I have more ideas. I'd like to do 8 books." Sure, you know, I'm the guy that 8-book series. 8 is nothing. I can sneeze that out. And so I do that. I do have a notebook of notes for the next world that kind of like to get started on and write about. And that would be a story about a world with 16 moons. And I'm really tempted to do one book a moon, you know, just because. And that one I started out with just 2 basic premises. 1, no humans. There can be humanoids, but no humans. So everything, their mythologies evolve from the point of view of something other than humans. And I decided that water would be dangerous on that world, so you have oily seas. And just from that, my ideas so far have filled up a small paper notebook that I finally entered on the computer. So I got that back in my head, and the ghostwriting, and of course getting people to know about what it is I've already done. I currently have enough. I could keep any 3 publishers busy for about a full decade. There's still more I wanted.
Well, I would encourage them to get with you and do just that. It is such a fascinating world that you have created in the 13 books in the series Muldeen. Working with Reader's Magnet, I want to just ask, in a minute or so left in the program, what's that experience been like for you working with Reader's Magnet in getting the word out there on Muldeen?
Well, my one weakness has been telling anybody anything about me, because, you know, there's a lot of writers out there, and to come along and toot your own horn and say, "No, really, I'm better than them," they'll just pat you in the head and send you along the way. And so having somebody like Reader's Magnet is a necessity for me. You know, it's like somebody else that knows how the system works, who they can go to, and how to put me out there, because I'm not really good at the PR thing. I'm the guy that on job interviews, I would give them my weak spots first.
Okay.
And you can't do that. So someone like Reader's Magnet, yes, definitely. I've been looking for someone like them, and now I finally have a chance.
Well, spreading the word of this exciting world that you have created, an exciting blend of fantasy and science fiction. It's Muldeen, the 13-novel series from our guest on the program, Mark Anthony Tiernow. So you can Google all of this. Tiernow is T-I-E-R-N-O, Mark Anthony Tiernow. And Muldeen is M-A-L-D-E-N-E. So if you look up the book or you go directly, all the information, great information, is available at the website Muldeen.com. And you can, of course, link on directly to Mark's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Mark, a pleasure to have you on the program. It's such a, I love the world that you've created. I mean, you have created a world. You've got your own alphabet and language and everything. It's all there in the Muldeen series. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Good luck with future efforts, and would love to touch base again. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It's been great being here.
You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest on the program, Mark Anthony Tiernow. The book is Muldeen, the book series. It's available at the website Muldeen.com. And, of course, information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.